From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted to welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. The text is chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Having executed sinful Achan, thus removing the cause for defeat, the army of Israel achieved a great victory over Ai as they followed the Lord's instructions for the battle. Our text is detailing two actions which Joshua performed. First, he slew the king of Ai. Then, he built an altar to the Lord God on Mount Ebal. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns is extracting some important and blessed spiritual lessons. Having pointed out the connection between the fall of the heathen king and the erecting of the altar, Dr. Cairns is applying these events to what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. In a message entitled, The Victory of the Cross, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. This was the first step in the Savior's triumph, the breaking of the devil's power. At His second coming, the Lord Jesus will cast the evil one into the lake of fire forever. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will come to the Word of God. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28. Only ye shall not go very far away. This is a crafty word from the lip of the arch-tyrant Pharaoh. If the poor bondaged Israelites must needs go out of Egypt, then he bargains with them that it shall not be very far away, not too far for them to escape the terror of his arms and the observation of his spies. After the same fashion, the world loves not the nonconformity of nonconformity, or the dissidence of dissent. It would have us to be more charitable, and not carry matters with too severe a hand. Death to the world and burial with Christ are experiences which carnal minds treat with ridicule, and hence the ordinance which sets them forth is almost universally neglected, and even condemned. Worldly wisdom recommends the path of compromise, and talks of moderation. According to this carnal policy, purity is admitted to be very desirable, but we are warned against being too precise. Truth is, of course, to be followed, but error is not to be severely denounced. Yes, says the world, be spiritually minded by all means, but do not deny yourself a little gay society, an occasional ball, and a Christmas visit to the theater. What's the good of crying down a thing when it is so fashionable and everybody does it? Multitudes of professors yield to this cunning advice, to their own eternal ruin. If we would follow the Lord wholly, we must go right away into the wilderness of separation and leave the Egypt of the carnal world behind us. We must leave its maxims, its pleasures, and its religion too, and go far away to the place where the Lord calls His sanctified ones. When the town is on fire, our house cannot be too far from the flames. When the plague is abroad, a man cannot be too far from its haunts. The further from a viper, the better, and the further from worldly conformity, the better. To all true believers, let the trumpet call be sounded. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
The cross of Jesus Christ, that greater altar, is where the love of God is most fully seen, where the grace of God is most gloriously outpoured. There you have the concentration of all the mercy, all the goodness, all the kindness, all the grace of God toward His erring creatures. Then we also learn, as Joshua taught his people, that the cross, the altar of our greater Joshua, is what crushed Satan and what guarantees the victory and the blessings of the people of God. Now, as we look at these two verses then, or these two statements, drawn together as they clearly are, by the inspired penman, we can lift the history up to a spiritual level, and we can learn a great New Testament doctrine. Let me put it like this, and this is what I want to preach about today. The cross of Christ is the ground of Satan's defeat, and it is the guarantee of the saints' victory. The cross of Christ, the ground of Satan's defeat, and the guarantee of the saints' victory. Now, I want to deal with this in the simplest, most straightforward possible way. Let me remark first and foremost that Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. You remember that before the cross, the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "This is your hour." He was speaking to those who had come to arrest him, his enemies, those who hated him and desired his death. He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." This is the hour of the power of darkness. There in Gethsemane, you see more than a human gathering. You see men, but behind the men, there is the motivation of hell. Behind their hatred, there is the fury of the arch enemy of truth, even Satan himself. And the Lord Jesus, as he felt the awful darkness of Gethsemane, and he looked forward to the even greater darkness of Golgotha, he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." The New Testament has quite a lot to say of Satan's dreadful power in the world. Paul speaks in Colossians 1:13 of the kingdom of darkness. That is a kingdom into which every man is born by nature. That is a kingdom that ignores all geographical, political, and economic boundaries. That is a kingdom that stretches from pole to pole and envelops the billions of this world's population. Paul calls it the kingdom of darkness. He told the Ephesians of the mighty energy that was working in that kingdom of darkness, and he spoke of the rulers of the darkness of this world. He spoke of the great and ultimate aim of the king of darkness, even the destruction of men and women. And he said, "He that had the power of death is the devil." Now, in the light of these things, we read in Scripture of Satan afflicting. We read of Satan tormenting. We read of Satan binding and blinding and deceiving men. Many preachers, when they come to those texts, can never get beyond the activity of Satan. I sat in too many meetings as I was growing up, listening to ill-informed preachers come for some special meetings. I'm thinking of a man, I can't remember his name, though I well remember the preaching that he did, where he came visiting our churches and he preached on Satan and Satan's people and Satan's power and Satan's darkness and Satan's energy to such a level. And I remember going out as a teenager with my heart in my boots and my mind in a turmoil, and I felt that it's hardly worthwhile trying even to live the Christian life because the devil's got it all wrapped up. The world's already gone. Of course, that's exactly what the preacher intended us to believe, that the world was so much in the grip of the devil that all we could sit back and wait for the rapture, that there's not a thing that we could do. Let me tell you, all that the Bible says about Satan's darkness and deception and power are true. But in reality, what the Word of God presents to us is only the death agony of the devil. I don't know if you've ever seen a chicken with its head cut off. As soon as you cut its head off, man, that chicken, at least the ones I've seen, they move faster than they've ever moved before, more frenetic. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog run over by a car and maybe its back broken. Remember, it happened to me one day going home. A dog ran out just 2 feet in front of the wheels of the car, and he was gone, straight over the middle of his back. And that dog took off up that street faster than it had ever run in its life, for a full 200 yards. Anybody looking at it in that 200-yard period would say, man, that dog's far more powerful than the car. That dog is still full of energy. It's still moving at full speed ahead. But look a little up the street and it lay dead. What we were seeing was merely its death agony. That's exactly the way it is with Satan. The war has been won. The Lord Jesus, in that great text in which he said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. You remember that text in John 12 and 32? I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Obviously, he was speaking not of a once-for-all event in which all men at 1 second in time would be drawn to him. He was saying, I will draw all men unto me. This is something I begin to do now, and I will continue to do until the last one is drawn in. It was the great English commentator Henry Alford who pointed out, therefore, that in the previous verse, when Jesus said the prince of this world has been judged, or that he's now cast out, what he is saying is, this is where I begin the casting down of the powers of hell. This is where I begin the casting out of Satan. John 12, 31 tells you the first step in the casting down. The book of the Revelation tells you the last step. In between what you see is the frenetic energy of a defeated foe. Never let us forget that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated Satan at Calvary. He crushed his head at the cross in fulfillment of that great first messianic promise of Genesis 3:15. I think it's one of the ironies of Scripture, one of the lovely touches of Scripture, that the very first promise of the Savior in the Bible was not given to Adam, it was not given to Eve, it was given straight to Satan. The Lord first prophesied the virgin birth. He first spoke of the coming of the Savior. He first spoke of the victory of Calvary as he addressed the tempter. And he said in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thank God at Calvary, the Lord Jesus broke the serpent's head. Now the head is obviously the part that speaks of the power, the concentration of power. It is the summing up of all the fullness of Satan's power. And that's what Christ has bruised and broken at Calvary. Not only that, but at Calvary he judged him. The prince of this world, John 16:11 says, the prince of this world has been judged. Where was he judged? He was judged at the cross. As I indicated from John 12:31, when Jesus died, it was the judgment of the world. I'm not going to go in to try and expound that statement. I did that quite some time ago, and you'll need to have a good memory to remember how I dealt with it. But when the prince of this world came to the cross, not only was the world judged, but he, that is Satan, was cast out. And he's being continually cast down until he is cast forever into the lake of fire. That is what Christ did at Calvary. He crushed the devil's head, he judged him, and he reversed the curse. You know, when I hear people talk against God, against God's love, God's mercy, God's wisdom, His kindness, because of all the trouble that's in the world, all the hurt that's in the world. How can a God of love allow all this suffering? How can a God of love allow what's happening in the former Yugoslavia? How can a God of love tolerate what's happened in Rwanda and continues to occur? How can a God of love allow the hundreds of millions the communists have murdered in Russia and in China? How can He do that? Thus they fly in the face of God. These are, to many people, these are reasons to question the goodness and the power and the kindness of God. That's the sort of thing that led one leading Canadian so-called theologian, it's a big word for an apostate actually, to say that God just doesn't have all power. Because either He has all love or all power. If He has all love and all power, then His love would make Him do a whole lot of these things that we think He ought to do in the world. Of course, those are just the vaporings of a depraved mind. Let me tell you that the people who thus find fault with God, this is the tragedy, continue to serve with all their might the very one who caused that curse.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.